Du kümmerst dich jeden Tag um andere, um dich und um dein Zuhause. Du kümmerst dich, wenn es drauf ankommt. Und weil du dich kümmerst, kümmern wir uns um das Geld, das du dafür brauchst. Damit Kredit so einfach wird wie noch nie. Hol auch du dir jetzt deinen Kredit auf auxmoney.com. auxmoney. Kredit einfach online.
Bei Action gibt es immer extrem niedrige Preise. Diese Woche 50 Palazzo Kaffeebecher XL-Packung nur 5,77 oder weiche Hotel Royal Handtücher nur 2,48. Angebote, die richtig glücklich machen. Für noch mehr extrem günstige Preise einfach in einer Action-Filiale vorbeischauen oder in der App stöbern. Action, kleine Preise, große Freude.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Jane doesn't mind an apartment with no elevator.
5 flights of stairs is 5 flights of cardio.
Bob is a little less enthusiastic about stairs.
I hate stairs.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle renters and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Jane and Bob found an apartment that's a 4-story walk-up. And Bob?
Yeah, there's a freight elevator she doesn't know about.
What were you talking about?
Nothing.
Bundling without compromise at geico.com.
Time now for another Bob and Tom Extra. This is Christopher. You know, we get you to work every morning on the Bob and Tom Show. Now every afternoon at 3, we're going to post a little extra for you to get you laughing on your way home or whenever you download this thing. On the big show today, Joe Buck is on the phone, plus can a drink. It's all coming up right after this.
Hi, Jess Hooker here.
And I'm Chick McGee. Remember the Off the Air podcast?
I do.
We're back.
What?
That's right. It's on the Bob and Tom VIP section of the Bob and Tom, BobandTom.com.
Yeah.
Just hook yourself up with the VIP and wham, there you've got video of the show in the morning. You've got all the Bob and Tom 24/7 goodies and you get the Off the Air podcast.
Yeah. And you can sign up monthly or you can sign up yearly and save money.
Try it out. And then, of course, you're going to sign up you and your friends for the rest of your life. So do it now.
Yeah. Gift it.
In southern Ohio, just north of Cincinnati, I beheld a vision next to the expressway. Was a 60-foot Jesus with his hands in the air. Looked like he's carved out of butter, just like at the state fair.
Big butter Jesus, sweet cream Jesus, old country fresh Jesus, unsalted Jesus, old promise Jesus, imperial Jesus. Can't believe it's not Jesus. Holy, oh Lord.
Well, you see him from the chest up, like he's about to do a backflip, like he scored a touchdown, or maybe melting or about to drown. Well, I've been to the state fair, seen a cow made out of corn cobs, Garth Brooks out of string cheese, and the Virgin out of olives.
Big butter Jesus, sweet cream Jesus, old country fresh Jesus, unsalted Jesus, old promise Jesus, imperial Jesus. Can't believe it's not Jesus. Holy, oh Lord.
Shipped in pieces on a flatbed, staring backwards was his big head. Driver stuck in traffic backups, desperately avoiding eye contact. Well, don't make no graven images, that's one of the Ten Commandments. I hope the grading curve is kindly, you get to heaven with a 90.
Big butter Jesus, sweet cream Jesus, old country fresh Jesus, unsalted Jesus, old promise Jesus, imperial Jesus.
believe it's not Jesus. Holy, oh Lord. Can't believe it's not Jesus.
Oh, spread the word.
For those of you who always need something extra, well, there you go. This is Bob and Tom Extra.
We are very lucky to have a special guest. First off, this is Tom, and we've got a bunch of people right here, but I think we have the great Joe Buck on the phone already. Joe, can you hear me?
Well, I can, yes, loud and clear.
Oh, great.
All right.
I have been reading about your adventures as a as an announcer of mundane things in today's world, I guess is the way to put it. And since you can't do baseball, you're helping people out by, what, doing birthday parties or what's going on?
Yeah, really whatever they were sending me, I was just doing, you know, just it seemed like it kind of filled some void that was out there with live events being called by play-by-play. And I did these videos. Fox initially wanted me to do kind of viral videos. I thought that seemed a little too self-serving. So if I take any ownership in any part of it, it was my idea to kind of have people send in, whether it's somebody cooking chicken wings on a grill or clearing out all the furniture in the living room and playing two-on-two basketball with a makeshift hoop out of an old Adidas box, or two dogs fighting over a stick. I put my voice to it and then asked whoever got their video put back up on Twitter to make a donation to a local charity wherever they may live and try to help people out in their own community.
Yeah, great move. Mm-hmm. And very funny. Did you by chance see a movie called The Groove Tube years ago?
I did not.
Okay, the reason I'm asking is there was a big news story I'm sure you're aware of that you were also asked to participate in an erotic film play-by-play. And yeah. you may recall your response if you'd like to share it.
I said, that broke on the internet somewhere, and then everybody posts it. And I responded to kind of one of the straightest-laced guys on Twitter that put it up that I had been offered $1 million to do play-by-play of porn videos. I said, depending on the website, they just may be handing my money back to me. And then as only Twitter can do, it's like, oh yeah, Joe Buck's a moron. You know, he's the only idiot that pays for that stuff. So I mean, you just can't win for losing on old Twitter.
Yeah, well, that old movie Groove Tube. It kind of predated Saturday Night Live with small skits, and there was one in which they had traditional sort of Olympic-level play-by-play broadcasters doing the play-by-play of a pornographic scene. Very, very funny. Very funny stuff.
I felt like I either, A, needed to hold out for more money, or B, just cash it all in and go for it. I just think it would... I think it would probably cost me my job. Well, I know it would cost me my job at Fox, and I think it would cost me my relationship with my mother, I had convinced that I had accepted the offer, and she was like, well, you've just been taught better than that. That's ridiculous. How could you ever say? And then I said, but Mom, I'm taking the money, and I'm going to buy you a new apartment. She lives with my sister right now, and she went, oh, well, you know, maybe it has some upside.
So, very good.
She changed her mind instantly once the money was theoretically going to be funneled into her account.
It sounds like something that they would offer Jim Brockmeyer.
This is it, the final season of Brockmeyer, which started as a five-minute Funny or Die video and has gone four seasons on IFC, and I was lucky enough to be a part of the first season, and then I came back in season two, and yeah, now tonight I am theoretically inducting him potentially into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
All right. Joe Buck is our guest, the distinguished announcer, and we sure hope you get to go back to work soon. When you were a kid, was your eye always on getting into the broadcast booth?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm all for nepotism. I followed my dad into this business. He did the Cardinals for almost 50 years, and I was around him as a little boy. I was part of his second family, and whatever clicked with him when I popped into the world, I think he wanted me alongside for the ride. So I was in every National League city by the time I was 12, and I saw how much my dad loved going to work every day. And I think it's only natural when reality hits that you're not athletically gifted enough to play, the next best thing is to be around it and call it. So I think, yeah, I was smart enough back then to have a real interest, pay attention, soak it all in. And then by the time I was 21, I was doing the Cardinals. And 25, I was hired at Fox. And 27, 28 was doing the World Series. So it was just a crazy quick ride that I really never dreamed would happen to this degree.
This may be somewhat obscure. I read a book many, many years ago, and it was by a guy that had been one of the staff writers on MASH. And he took the year off to go tour with a minor league baseball team to learn to become an announcer.
Yeah, Ken Levine.
That's it.
Great writer, obviously. I think he had his hand somewhat in Cheers too, maybe, but definitely MASH. And I get a newsletter written by him every a couple months, and he's just a genius writer. But his love of baseball drew him out of that business and straight into a broadcast booth, which is kind of crazy.
Do you remember the part where he's trying to develop a home run call? Because I guess this is sort of your...
Well, that was the name of the book, right?
I think it wasn't it like... Going, oh, hey, wait a minute.
Oh, hey, wait a minute, yeah.
yes, exactly.
I guess you can't be too self-conscious about these things that end up being sort of your famous, whatever it would be, lying about something.
Go ahead.
Have you worked on one, or is something sticking, or do you have, when you're not doing it, do you sit around thinking, okay, maybe I should have done it this way?
There's no way that you don't, especially for the big moments. I think the best thing that's happened for me during this quarantine is sitting around and basically watching my career unfold on rerun TV now on Fox Sports One or on Fox. I've seen old Super Bowls I've done, seen old World Series I've done, 2004 with the Red Sox winning, 2016 with the Cubs winning, and it's hard to sit here and not critique everything or say, oh, I wish I had done this or I wish I had done that. When Mark McGwire set the home run record back in 98, everybody kept asking me, you know, if he breaks this record of Roger Maris's 61 in 1961, what are you going to say when he hits the 62nd home run? I was like, I don't know. I never know what I'm going to say when I walk into a booth or when a pitch is thrown, you just kind of react. And eventually I took the bait and I wrote down on my scorebook what I would say for this historic moment. And the home run that he hit was barely fair, was just over the wall, and I could never get my eyes down to what I had written that morning. And I'm glad I didn't, because it was corny and stupid. And by the time when he was watching the ball too, he leaped over first base and he had to go back and touch first, which was part of the call. And it's more, you need to live in the moment. Anytime you kind of force action into what you thought of the week before, it just doesn't really work in what I do.
Have you ever been in a situation where you're assigned to do a particular game, and for one reason or another you get there and you're thoroughly unprepared and go into panic mode, which is the description of how we are on this show every day?
Not not thoroughly unprepared, but I think life happens. You know, I've had my older two daughters are now 23 and 20. I've now got twin 2-year-old boys, and all this kind of coming and going and plane flights and getting to a certain city on time. And yeah, there are times where you feel rushed or you feel like, man, I'm about to go on national TV and I'm just not where I need to be with my preparation, and that's a bad feeling, and that's kind of the nightmare for a play-by-play broadcaster is you you know, when I that, those are my bad dreams. I show up at a Super Bowl and I can't really see the field, or I don't know the teams, I don't know the names and the numbers, and that's the stuff that makes me wake up in a cold sweat. But I've never been so unprepared that I couldn't do it. But I think when I'm at my most prepared, that's when I use my research the least, and I just kind of freewheel and kind of see it and say it.
Yeah, I think the fact that you know you're prepared, so you're ready to go, that's I think that's very helpful. Have you ever been in a situation where you don't know the name of the player and all of a sudden you go, tackle by
28.
Hell yeah. And I hear other guys do it too, because there are different ways to do it cleverly, and I'm not always clever, but if you go, you know, and of course that pass is caught over the middle right about at the 34-yard line. All of this is stalling. To think about 34-yard line, and wow, what a great throw. And that was Johnson who caught that pass. Yeah, 34.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, you just kind of, you put it at the end of the sentence instead of at the beginning of it.
We're speaking to Joe Buck. The closest I've ever come to doing what you do, Joe, is I used to be the booth announcer at my son's high school games.
And, yeah, I'm sure you want to hear about this, Joe. Yeah, this is, ahead,
let
yeah.
me finish. I'm about to make a point. I bet he agrees with me. I would go down before the game to the opposing team and get the pronunciation correctly of every player.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be amazed. You'd pronounce some guy's name incorrectly, mm-hmm. and mom would be up in the booth.
I bet.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
And on the...
It's literally, no, we are joking about it, but it is one of the most important things that I do, because if I show up and I, you know, every fan base is just rabid. I mean, go on my Twitter feed, rabid about their team. And if you show up and you mess up somebody's name, that everybody in that fan base is like, this guy is an absolute, he doesn't, it just makes you appear like you have no idea what the hell you're talking about. I've never had any professional player's mom show up in the back of the booth, but they probably tweeted at me at some point.
Okay. Well, Joe Buck, it's a great pleasure talking to you. Before we go, if you have a home office in there, is there a special photograph you have that highlights someone you met during your career?
When you started that question, it made me instantly think of a picture that I have of my dad, and it was taken on a throwaway camera, my dad holding my newborn daughter, watching me do the World Series with Tim McCarver. So in the TV is my fat head, and in the front part of the foreground of the picture is my dad, and then my daughter, Natalie, is resting on his chest. And it's just like, it's three generations, and it's my dad watching me do the World Series instead of the way I grew up, which was me in the back of the booth watching him do all these big events. So it was real. It's my favorite picture in that I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, that's so great. Well, Joe Buck, let's hope everybody gets back to work soon.
We'll
certainly look forward to hearing your great work. Thanks again.
All right, you guys are the best. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Joe.
The best.
What a great story.
Yeah, man. Right. Man.
Yeah, that's true about the high school games. I mean,
I think it'd be more, especially more important at a high school game than maybe a pro game.
And let's face it, there are names out there. You get into hockey.
Oh man, yeah.
Do a world gymnastics championship sometime.
I bet.
Oh.
A lot of consonants.
Yeah. A lot of countries, a lot of consonants.
Nadia, no vowels.
Boy, no vowels could work the pommel horse, couldn't she?
Yeah. Nobody better.
Yeah. Oh, we had a request. I don't know if we have time to play it. Maybe we can get it in later or tomorrow. The of that famous fake Olympics with the honeymoon of Nadia Comaneci and Bart Connor,
who are both Twitter followers of mine now.
Maybe we probably won't play that. Then that's a little rough. But it's that play-by-play gag.
Man, they've been married a long time.
Once again,
but are they happy?
Okay. Yeah, they seem very happy. My son.
She was super cool.
Nadia?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was kind of nervous to meet
her. Remember with her name?
Bart's always been great. I knew he'd be, but I thought, this is going to be weird. She was really funny.
She has grown up to be a very lovely woman. You would never know. She didn't look anything like she did when she
was competing in gymnastics at the age of, what, 14 or whatever she was.
You ever see those hammers, Josh? My.
Oh, let's move forward, shall we? Yeah.
Hey.
Just trying to...
hey, we have a story we haven't gotten to
today.
Okay,
what's that?
You've heard of Liquid Courage. How about Liquid Kush? Cannabis beverages have been steadily growing in popularity.
Yeah.
According to cannabis industry analytics from Headset's 2019 Cannabis Beverage Market Report, the canna drink market has doubled in the past 2 years with the market worth about $3 million.
Canna drink.
Canna drink.
That's not a big, very big market.
I can't imagine.
Nationally?
It tastes good.
It's the only liquid that gives you dry mouth.
Huh? Good point. What's wrong with things being what they are?
And cannabis drinks account for 1.4% of cannabis sales.
What would it taste like? I don't know.
One day
that's what
we
I
are
said.
Going
it's got to be.
There will be cannabis-infused alcoholic coffee. You can just get it all in one can.
Yeah, but new bacon flavor.
There you go. Maybe a creamer.
Bacon flavor. You take what the liquid cannabis, whatever it is, soda, is that what it's called?
It's a drink.
You pour it on your edibles and you've got stoner cereal.
Sure.
And why do they've added this ubbles to everything. Edibles.
Yeah.
Kids are going to start thinking if they eat those Lunchables, they're going to be getting high.
Yeah.
Give me the cheese and the cracker.
Have you seen the adult Lunchables?
The ham gets you really floating.
Those adult Lunchables are so good.
The what?
Adult Lunchables. They're a little bigger, a little more substantial. And crackers and cheese and pepperoni.
My little girls love those, especially the ones that have the brownies in them.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, the brownies would be with.
And see? Then you buy those, and then the cheese block's there.
Yeah.
Crackers are there.
But they only ate the
brownies are gone.
Like that Neapolitan. There's today's edition of the Bob and Tom Extra for you. Make sure you catch us every weekday afternoon at 3. You can catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. For the Bob and Tom Show, this is Christopher speaking. Have a great one.
The United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
My name is David Goss, and I'm joined by my co-host, Megan Klinenberg.
Everything up until this point has been an outside look at the World Cup, and now we're giving people an inside look. It is just total pressure cooker.
Watching flags come out of little plastic balls is like the epitome of everything that I love. And the World Cup is everything. It's why I became a soccer fan.
The U.S. Soccer Podcast. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.